Find your missing ingredient at the 2024 National Restaurant Show. Whether you're looking to adapt your offerings to satisfy shifting dinner expectations, seamlessly navigate razor-thin margins, or integrate next-era solutions to offset labor challenges, the show has everything you need to plate up success for your operation. See tomorrow's ideas come to life and find inspiration for your next big concept as you explore a bustling show floor featuring over 900 product categories. From award-winning food and beverage items to innovative back-of-house equipment and technology. Join your peers at the show for Food Service in Chicago, May 18th to 21st, and get a taste of the future. Visit the official show website at www.nationalrestaurantshow.com to register and learn more.
Welcome to Menu Feed, a weekly podcast from Restaurant Business and Food Service Director. I'm Pat Kobe, Senior Menu Editor for both brands. Joining me on the podcast is Clay Walker, President of Gott's Roadside, the iconic California drive-in diner. Gott's got its start in the Napa Valley 25 years ago and has been recognized by the James Beard Foundation as an early pioneer of fast casual dining. Through the years, the food has evolved from a limited menu of burgers, fries, and shakes to a broad selection that offers something for everyone, says Clay. This year, Culinary Director Jennifer Redman is introducing a commemorative 25th anniversary menu, rotating in old favorites and new LTOs during each month of 2024. Items like a soft-shell crab sandwich, grilled artichokes, street corn, and a lobster BLT are coming up as specials. Listen as Clay describes how he is honoring Gott's legacy while growing the brand, how the roadside restaurant puts hospitality front and center, and what guests can expect next from Gott's. Welcome, Clay. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Pat, nice to be here.
Yes, for sure. Well, let's begin by you telling me a little bit about your professional journey and how you ended up at Gott's Roadside.
I would be more than happy to share the backstory. I've been at Gott's for 11 years. But before that, I've had many different stops along the way that have probably influenced how I do what I do. I'm a California kid originally, but I went back east for college. Mm-hmm. And I went to Brown University and met my now wife there, ended up living in New York City for about 15 years, moving back to California. But my first job out of college, of course, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I worked as a management consultant for Anderson Consulting, you know, big 500 management consultancy. But one of my best friends from high school and I had, he also went to school on the East Coast. And growing up in California, the street food that we grew up on were mission style burritos. Mm-hmm. Whereas in New York, it's pizza and hot dogs. And I was in Providence, Rhode Island. He was in Philadelphia. And when we'd chat, he'd say, "Boy, I miss that food, don't you?" And so we kind of hatched a plan as undergrads to someday, you know, bring West Coast style burritos to East Coast college towns. It was kind of my first restaurant thought. Mm. And, you know, lo and behold, post-graduation, I was working in management consulting. He was working on a trading desk. And we said, if we don't do this now, we're never going to do it. So we wrote a business plan, raised some money, quit our jobs, and moved to New York City and opened up a concept called the Emerald Planet, which I don't know if you remember it. It was mid-90s. Okay. And first location was on Great Jones between Broadway and Lafayette. So college town being near NYU, right. Yet let's try to benefit from the population density on top of it. We had a great run. We ended up opening three restaurants. The other two were in Midtown. We learned that, you know, we were a lunch staple more than a dinner option because I've always been in the fast casual space.
Right.
you know, location number four was supposed to go into the World Trade Center. So unfortunately, that did not materialize. The operating environment went south quickly. And I ended up selling the business, not exactly the exit that I was looking for. But those times were tough for everyone. That was my first real foray into the food business. I'm sure. Have you worked in food?
Well, I worked as, you know, as a cocktail waitress when I was grad school.
Sure. No, that counts, right?
Yeah.
It's a very stimulating, addictive business. You know, I after selling the business, a private equity firm that I had pitched read that the Emerald Planet had been sold and said, hey, we're looking for somebody like you to work with our new investment. It's called Papaya King. So I joined them for a couple of years, helped them shore up the foundation, position the company for growth. I woke up one day and said, I need to diversify. I'm, you know, in this high risk restaurant world. I'm newly married. I have the first of three kids. I need to pay the bills. And so I decided to work on the real estate side of the business. And so I joined the team that managed the retail and restaurant portfolio at Grand Central Terminal. Jones Lang LaSalle was my employer, but and they worked for the MTA. So it was fun. It was an incredibly fun job for me because I knew a lot of the operators from being in the restaurant world for many years.
Right.
But then I'd have to put on a suit and deal with the MTA. So it was kind of a mayor-esque type job. I really enjoyed it. But, you know, the pull to get back into the restaurant world, you know, once you're a hospitality addict like I am, it just pulled me back in. I relocated from New York to San Francisco in 2009 and slowly but surely started restaurant consulting. You know, most of my Rolodex was in New York at the time, but I moved back to Northern California where I grew up and had a fortuitous meeting with Joel Gott. I could, you know, we just were kindred spirits. He's, you know, a wine guy, but had started this fledgling food chain. When I joined, there were three restaurants. There are now eight. And, you know, he's had multiple businesses. And so it's what he didn't like doing and didn't have time to do was my passion. And so it was kind of a match made in heaven. And I really enjoy working with him. And, you know, we've over the years built the company together and developed a really tight relationship too.
And you've also had a lot of input into the menu from what I understand. So tell me how the menu has changed.
So I love this story because, you know, sometimes business people start restaurant companies with a master plan. And sometimes restaurants open more organically. And so Joel and his brother grew up in Santa Elena, which is in the Napa Valley, in the wine business. But they saw that an old hamburger stand was no longer in business and decided to, you know, Joel's very entrepreneurial. Said, hey, why don't we buy this, revive it to what it once was, but serve the kind of food that we like to eat? I'm like, Joel, you mean there wasn't a master plan? And he goes, no, we like burgers. We like tacos. We like beer. And so that was kind of the genesis for the original menu. Yeah. Very eclectic. Very eclectic.
And you had wine too, because you were in wine country.
Yeah. So it's always been, you know, we talk about being a wine country brand at this point. But that's my business spin on it, right? I mean, it's kind of, that's where we started. And it's influenced a lot of who we are and what we've become. But Joel swears that the only things on the menu, like the only things on the menu, are what me and my friends like to eat. And so when I joined, part of what I did was interview different players, right? I was familiar with the brand from a guest point of view and was always fascinated, but I was looking just for feedback from current guests. And I interviewed Joel's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "You're so lucky you get to eat at Gott's all the time." And she said, "Oh my God, there's just nothing for me to eat there." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "I'm a health nut. I'm, you know, a triathlete. Burgers and fries don't really cut it for me." And I said, "There's other stuff to eat." And she goes, "Yeah, but, you know, I like to eat salads and lighter fare."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, light bulb, right?
Right.
And so, you know, before I even brought on a culinary director, I knew kind of where we needed to go, because in my observations, our guests were male heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest things we've been able to do is, through menu innovation, create more mass appeal,
mm-hmm.
because there's something for everyone. It's now morphed into a family-friendly restaurant for all,
mm-hmm.
is what I would say. When I first came on board, I'm like, "Wow, this menu is very eclectic. We're probably going to eliminate some of these things." But what I quickly realized is that breadth of menu was a competitive advantage. You know, there are lots of burger restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of salad restaurants like Sweetgreen, and
mm-hmm.
there are lots of Mexican restaurants like Chipotle. We have a little bit of all that under one roof. We have vegetarian items, you know, we have kid friendly items, and we have great beer and wine, like you mentioned. So it checks all the boxes. There's no veto vote, in other words, right? So that's kind of been one of our secret sauces, so to speak.
And now it's the 25th anniversary of the brand, and you're doing a commemorative menu where you're introducing new items every month, or bringing back items that were popular?
Yes, I'm glad you noticed that. It's, you know, part of our strategy, part of our menu development, R&D, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great culinary director now. She's a Union Square Hospitality alum.
Mm-hmm.
I used to socialize with her in New York. She moved back to San Francisco at a certain point in time, too. And we were very fortunate to bring her on.
What's her name?
Jennifer Redman.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, been instrumental in curating our food offerings. And so, yes, this 25th anniversary menu, typically we'll run a special that lasts a couple months. Things that gain traction might work their way onto the main menu. If not, then they don't, right? Some use seasonal ingredients so that perhaps it's not right for to be a year-round menu item. But this 25th anniversary calendar features different specials every month. And it's just our way of bringing back some oldies but goodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then leaning into some things we've never done before that we've always wanted to do. And we just thought, it's 25th anniversary, the time's now. It'll be a good challenge for our organization. You know, specials in general keep our staffs engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that we repeat, there is so much pent-up demand year after year for some of these things that we do that other burger concepts simply aren't doing, right?
Can you give me an example of one of the ones that is really much in demand?
Yeah, to me, the sexiest thing we do is Dungeness crab.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll feature it in a sandwich with a brioche bun, but we'll also do a crab and shrimp Louis salad. You know, it happens to be local to the San Francisco Bay Area. You know,
right.
West Coast is famous for Dungeness crab. Not too many burger places are serving such elevated offerings like that.
No.
You see that more in like a fine dining. And so that's kind of, you know, we like to sell things that are craveable and elevated. And, you know, if somebody just wants a hot dog, that's fine too. But look at what we have. And so it drives engagement, it drives frequency of visit, and it ensures that our jobs aren't boring.
So have you had to add like new equipment to the units to make the food more elevated, like you mentioned?
Over the years, a little bit, but not much. You know, Jennifer, our culinary director, is very mindful of simplicity. Right? So we like to use interesting ingredients, but it has to be, we ha there has to be, we can't create undue chaos at the restaurant level, right? Because we're high volume and we're all about consistency of execution across the whole menu. And, you know, we need to be careful not to overpromise and underdeliver. So equipment, not so much. We recently built a central commissary to help us with food consistency, food safety, distribution, pulling some labor out of the restaurants and just centralizing. That's helped quite a bit. And, you know, what I'm most excited about, I mean, the oldies but goodies are there. And, you know, we have a chicken parm sandwich, which was kind of inspired by our time on the East Coast, actually, you know, where submarines and grinders are so popular. But, you know, we're going to do a, I've always wanted to serve salmon, because it's not only does it, is it a popular taste profile, but it has such great health benefits. I've always wanted to work with artichokes. You know, it's a quintessential California vegetable. So, you know, we have the bandwidth, the equipment that we need. And so, you know, we're taking the opportunity in our 25th year to kind of really push the envelope in terms of what our offerings are. But they all kind of fit under that moniker of, you know, serving the California roadside. You know, our platings are very simple, but it's just really fresh ingredients, craveable, and, you know, hopefully exciting for people who aren't expecting that when they walk through
Well,
the door.
definitely wouldn't expect an artichoke at a
Right.
casual.
Like the number of Brussels sprouts we sell, for example, because, I mean, French fries are America's favorite vegetable, right? I mean, potato is America's favorite vegetable because of French fries. But our guest base, being in Northern California, I mean, burgers, fries, and shakes works for a lot of people, but other people want lighter fare, whether it's, you know, fish, whether it's vegetables, like I said, Brussels sprouts. Who knew they were such a popular item? We ran into a special one time and we're like, wow, people, right? It's like you hit a nerve.
It's
It's really interesting.
encouraging, really.
Well, it really is. We do this corn on the cob that is one of my favorites, kind of a Mexican style street corn with cotija cheese and, you know, spritz of chili powder and a squeeze of lime. And, you know, it's so great to walk around the restaurants, whether indoor or out, people are walking around with a cob. So it's, you know, just kind of, we're different like that in a fun way.
And I understand that you're introducing fresh baked chocolate chip cookies at a couple of units. You're trying them out. So how is that going?
We are. That's our newest kind of what I would say category initiative. Inspired by our owner, Joel Gott, winemaker, cookie monster. Joel Gott and his family love chocolate chip cookies. And forever, we've only, our dessert items at Gott's have been milkshakes and soft serve ice cream.
Right.
But no baked goods. And so when we built this new commissary, we installed some ovens and started playing around. And Joel was intimately involved in that initiative with Jennifer Redman, our culinary director. And we think we've come up with a pretty special chocolate chip cookie. And I, you know, I fibbed earlier when I said, oh, you know, no, our equipment specs haven't really changed that much. In order to roll those out properly, our store level equipment needs are, we need an oven. We need a location because we piloted just delivering cookies to stores, but there's a lot of waste involved based on traffic. And you don't get that same sensory experience of freshly baked chocolate chip cookies wafting through the restaurant out the doors, right? So we've hit the pause button on that initiative. We're live in the Valley at our Santa Elena restaurant, which is our first store, and at Oxbow Market, I think the one you visited when you went to the CIA, because we can service that very easily. Our commissary, which is, I'm actually in one of the offices in our commissary. It's in Napa, right off of Highway 80. And so we're able to service those two restaurants really easily, but not the others. And so what we've decided to do is install ovens where we can bake these cookies fresh every morning and throughout the day if necessary.
Right.
We're waiting to go live company-wide, but that should happen by May 1st.
Okay, cool. So you'll ship the like dough or you'll or the pre sliced.
Yeah, we make the dough centrally and then bake off at the store level. That's our plan. That way we get the freshest product, the most craveability. But Pat, it's just another reason you need to come visit.
Definitely. I love chocolate chip cookies.
Well, this is a very high end, you know, Maldon salt on the top. It's an adult chocolate chip cookie.
So you were recognized by the James Beard Foundation as an early pioneer of fast casual. So how did you earn that distinction and how do you keep it going?
That was before my time, but I would equate it to right place, right time. You know, the Napa Valley is one of the food and wine bastions of the country, if not the world. And I think Gott's niche in the marketplace is still what it was then and how we got recognized. It's a casual alternative without compromising, you know, the quality of the food.
And so, I'm pioneering also because it was before Chipotle and
it was before a lot of stuff, especially in this particular region, because Napa Valley is still surprisingly rural. I mean, it's an agricultural area. You know, a lot of those trendier food concepts come out of urban centers, right?
Right.
It's a little unusual to start rurally. What we've learned over the years is the concept plays quite well in urban markets, in suburban markets, and rural markets. So that's what's exciting. But I think, you know, the James Beard Committee probably, you know, in the Napa Valley, Thomas Keller is probably the biggest chef name. And you know, a lot of people come to the Napa Valley to eat high-end tasting menus and drink fine wines. But that can get tiring quickly, right? Sometimes people need a place to relax and let their hair down and let the kids run around and, you know, a less formal setting. And I think it plays with a lot of people's own nostalgia from their own childhoods and upbringings, quite honestly. I think we tap into that I mean, I see it all the time. You know, it's used to be a station wagon pulling up, right? Now it's an SUV. But kids are running out of the car and, you know, after a road trip, and mom and dad are exhausted, and, you know, but there's something for everybody there. And so it's surprisingly experiential for what it is. And I think that it's a trip down memory lane for a lot of people. It's a little bit of a throwback, but with modern food and technology, so to speak.
And tell me how you incorporate hospitality into the whole formula, because that's very important to
Yeah,
guys.
no, it's our core value. It's, you know, something, it's very authentic. Our founder is, you know, came out of the womb practicing hospitality. I mean, he's just kind of a standard bearer, and it's embedded in what we do. And I think it's just all about, you know, hospitality is about how you make people feel. And I think we do a really good job of taking care of our employees, who then in turn take care of our guests. You know, it's kind of it's a whole ecosystem. So it's welcoming people upon arrival. It's providing, you know, craveable food, great service, a clean and comfortable setting where people can relax. It's almost, you know, we're living in a crazy world, Pat, right? I mean, and you know, I always ask myself, is it crazier now than it was, or is it just that there's more media around it? Probably the latter, right? I mean,
Well, a little of both, I
I
think.
think, right. I mean, yes, our, you know, it's going to be an interesting election cycle again, right? But and whether it's the pandemic or whether it's, you know, global politics, whatever it is, right? There are always stressors. We like to be a sanctuary for people or a second kitchen for people where, you know, people can kind of leave their baggage at the curb, come in, enjoy a meal by themselves, with their friends and family, with other friends. People use GOTS in different ways. And I think GOTS, everybody's GOTS is a little different because of the breadth of menu, because of personal preferences, whether they're a solo diner, a couple, a family, with friends, with sports teams, with, you know, what's cool about GOTS is that it's come as you are.
Thanks so much, Clay. I hope I get to the Bay Area soon so I can try some of the anniversary specials. You can download this episode of Menu Feed and past ones on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Pat Kobe.